Donald Trump, of all people, should know the importance of having the right people in place. Without them, a building remains nothing but a potential based on blueprints. Building an administration is fundamentally a process of putting people in the hundreds of policy positions open to a new president. So what's the holdup? For some insight, Max Steyer, president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service. And Max, you've made something of a sub-career in talking about this throughout the nation, haven't you, in the last couple of weeks?
I hope not a career, but I do think that people are the essential element of success for any organization. And for the United States government, we have a unique number of political appointees, 4,000 and 1,100 of those plus having to get Senate confirmation. And without them, it's very hard, as you suggested, to run a successful administration. No prior president has done this well, but this administration is doing worse than any prior precedent.
Yeah, give us some of the statistics on people filled, people nominated, and versus the last couple of administrations at this point in.
Certainly. So, this administration right now has 40 confirmed, Senate-confirmed individuals in place. They only have 63 that are formally nominated, and there are another 15 that have been announced. We try to create a sort of smaller group from that 1,100 of core Senate-confirmed positions, and I've identified 559 of those. So what that means is that for 442 of those positions, no one's been announced, nominated, or confirmed. Now, just to compare, as you said, we have a situation where the Obama administration had 150 people confirmed at this stage of the game. And the key here, I think, to remember is that it still took President Obama over a year to fill out his full team. And so the pace that we're on now is extremely troubling.
Why do you suppose this is? I mean, there are lots of publications that never wrote about politics in their entire histories that are now weighing in on opinions saying, well, people won't work for Trump or this, that, and the other. What are the fundamental problems from what you're able to tell?
I think the answers are many. So you suggested yourself that there are a lot of reasons that have been presented. I think the most important of those reasons is that the president came in with a operating model that was quite successful for him in business that doesn't apply to the United States government. And that operating model, running a family business, a large, successful family business, was one in which he was able to put his arms around every major decision, both personnel and operational in the organization. You can't do that as president of the United States in running the U.S. government. And you saw that. He actually was relatively quick in announcing his cabinet, but the proposition that you could scale that same approach to naming, 4,000 or 1,100 Senate confirmed positions, it doesn't work. And that's what we're seeing right now. And that is ultimately a president and his core team that haven't understood as of yet that to run the U.S. government, they actually need to play their position, not all play ball. And they need to have a strong set of leaders that are working in a coordinated fashion, but nonetheless largely independently across the government. And so that's the first issue. The second is that they haven't really staffed up sufficiently the infrastructure needed to identify the best candidates and get them through the process. So that's the Office of Presidential Personnel, the ethics folks at the White House Counsel's Office. And they haven't worked through an effective arrangement with the agencies, which I think is the best approach of having them identify great talent that they can then propose to the White House in order to be able to actually, again, fill all these different spots. There are a set of other reasons that I think are relevant here. You raised the question about, are there screens? Like, have you ever said anything negative about the president that might keep you out? There's the question about the tolerance of the talent itself to go through what is a crazy, difficult process. But you add all that up and you then include the fact that you now are in a situation where there are very small pipes that any folks have to go through that include the Office of Government Ethics and the Senate. And it's hard to see how this president catches up.
We're speaking with Max Steyer, president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service. Your first point that you made, that the operating model that might work in the Trump administration obviously doesn't scale to the federal government. It reminds me of early on in the Carter administration when Jimmy Carter was said to have taken the entire Defense Department budget upstairs to try to read it at night until someone prevailed upon him the futility of trying to do that, that no president is expected to read thousands of pages of that kind of detail and be effective. But the difference is maybe he listened to people that said, stop doing that because you'll get nothing done. I guess maybe the question has to be raised is there anyone that can tell Donald Trump, this is how you got to do it for your own good?
Yes. And look, I think no president is going to come to the job with, you know, everything that they need to be successful at it. It is going to be a steep learning curve for anybody, no matter how qualified they are. And I think you raised the right point, which is, you know, how fast do you learn, and do you learn the right lessons? And you know, time is short. You know, we're talking about having, you know, gone through almost 10% of the first term already. And I think again, what's striking here is, you know, this is a team sport, and the, you know, the president does not have his team on the field. And for those people who disagree with the president's policy choices, they should understand that this is not a solution for stopping that policy. The damage is very large. It's not simply the president is unable to push his own specific agenda. It also means that the government writ large is not going to operate as effectively as we will want it to. And you know, if there is a crisis, and inevitably there will be one, the likelihood is the government won't be able to respond as effectively as it needs to. So these are troubling statistics. This is really ultimately about whether our government is operating as effectively as we all need it to in national security and in other areas where there's going to be consensus that we want it to work well.
Now, the partnership has lots of programs throughout the year in which you bring in mid and upper level senior managers at the career level. What they tell us might be something different, being media, than they might tell you. What are you hearing about the effect this is having on people at that level, the managers that keep things going year after year?
Well, it's a very important point, and one that we try to explain to people, which is that just because the president hasn't nominated or gotten someone confirmed doesn't mean the job is vacant. Inevitably, there's actually going to be a career person who is in an acting role, and that career person is likely to know more than anybody else about how to do that job well. The problem for that career individual is that they're in an acting role. And the metaphor that speaks most to me is the substitute teacher. You might be a phenomenal educator, but as a substitute teacher, you're not going to be perceived as having authority, nor likely to look at your job as a long-term one. You don't think you're around for very long, so you don't make decisions on that basis that you're looking at the long-term or take on the most difficult issues. So I think what, as you suggest, we are hearing from the career workforce is, as always, they are doing their best. And they are there ultimately to help the president's team get its policy choices done effectively. And without the leadership in place, what we hear is there's a lot of uncertainty about what direction they ought to be going in. And I think, unfortunately, what that leads to is a lot less momentum, again, taking on the hard problems and focusing on the long term than we need. And I think there's a sense of being in a caretaker position. You add in the uncertainty around budget, and it becomes a very difficult and position for the career workforce, and a difficult position for the American people who bluntly aren't going to be getting the government that they need. You know, when you talk about waste, This is a recipe for waste.
Also, the partnership has been advising the administration on a nonpartisan basis, I presume, on hiring and getting people in. Are you optimistic that this might turn around?
Well, as I suggested, I do think that this administration is learning. I think it's very hard. These jobs are incredibly difficult. And as I said earlier, once you fall behind, it's really hard to catch up. And, you know, one of the big challenges, you look at the Senate, for example, there are a lot of competing priorities. You have the health care reform issue, the tax reform issue. You've got the debt ceiling coming up. You've got the budget that has to be put together. You have judicial nominations. And so it becomes a very crowded docket. It's a traffic jam. And the Senate can only accomplish so much. One might argue that it's got a limited capability in the ordinary course. And with all these things happening at the same time, it becomes difficult to believe that, you know, that these jobs, filling these jobs is going to be the priority, or that it's going to happen very quickly. So yes, we are doing our best to provide the advice that we can, but, you know, this becomes a hard situation. Falling behind makes this very difficult.
Max Steyer is president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Find a link to more on this topic and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.